Romans 8:38 and 39 say, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's take just a moment this morning as our heads are bowed, as we're being just quiet with God today, and thank Him that there is nothing in this world, nothing, no created thing that can separate us from the love of God that is found in His Son, Jesus Christ. God, thank You that no matter who or what comes against us, no matter what circumstance we're going through, God, that nothing can separate us from You. God, there is no outside force that can wedge itself in on its own to separate us from Your love. God, we pray that as we continue to look at what it means to seek You, what it means to pursue a deeper relationship with You, God, that You would speak to our hearts this morning. You are a personal God. You're a God that has no beginning and no end. You are the one true God. And we want to ascribe to You the glory that is due Your name. You are holy and set apart. God, You are our salvation and our strength. God, this morning we want to encounter You. We want You to change us and mold us and shape us into the men, women, boys, and girls that You would have us be. That our character would look more and more like Yours every day. So Lord, this morning would You make us aware of Your presence because You are here today. God, we pray for those people, for followers of Jesus all around the world, Lord, that may be experiencing persecution. God, may be losing the ability to draw physical breath. Their heart may beat for the last time because someone said, renounce faith in Christ or die. Lord, we pray for them that they would know Your presence close this morning. That they would be emboldened in their faith. Lord, that God, they would remember today that there is nothing that can separate them from Your love. Father, we pray that You would use us, that You would use Southwinds Church Mahogany, God, that You would use Your people all around this world, Father, to further Your kingdom. Lord, we want to be part of Your kingdom work. Lord, let us be aware and practice Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have been talking about seeking God. And what does that look like? What are some things that we can do? And last week we talked about ascribing to God the glory that is due His name and physically taking out a pen and paper and writing down who God is. God, You are good. You are holy. You are big. You are Creator. You are the author and perfecter of my faith. You are my salvation. You're my strength. And the list goes on and on and on. I don't know if you had a chance or if you took the time to do that last week, but I would encourage you, if you didn't take the time to start that last week, start it today. And ascribe to God the glory that is due His name. And it doesn't mean that you have to take out a pen and paper and write it down, okay? Some people, that just doesn't do it for them. Whatever you need to do, ascribing to God the glory that's due Him is something that He loves. Because He is good, He is holy, He is mighty, He is majestic, and He is due all glory. And He loves it when we glorify His name. Now today, when we talk about practicing God's presence, I don't know what image came into your mind when you saw that title or the first time you heard that, but I'm not talking about you know, practicing looking like God, you know, like, okay, maybe if I really sit on a throne that I can, you know, imagine that this is God. No, like, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about, there have been people that have seen maybe the face of Jesus impressed on a grilled cheese sandwich, right? Like, have you ever heard of that? A grilled cheese sandwich that hit that iron or hit that griddle just the right way that looked like the profile. Nobody knows what Jesus looked like anyway, but it looked like the profile of Jesus to somebody. And so that grilled cheese sandwich is immortalized forever. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say, you know, we don't want to be those people, okay? When we're talking about practicing God's presence, we're talking about being aware of the fact that He is here around us. If you're a follower of Jesus, that He is present in your life, that He has put His Spirit inside of you. That's a big deal, Southwinds. That's a huge deal. When we practice God's presence, let me give you an example, okay? Or maybe an illustration. Okay, anybody here ever looked for a vehicle? You ever bought a vehicle? Okay, a couple be good. We have a couple people that have driven cars before. That's awesome. I like it. I'm going to tell you about the last time that Rachel and I, my wife and I, looked for a vehicle, and we were thinking, you know, we were hoping to start a family, and God, you know, God gave us our, you know, I think our amazing son Theron. He's our son, so I can say that, you know, but we're thinking, you know, we need something bigger than our little Honda Civic, and it'd be nice, you know, to have something that's, you know, all-wheel drive so that when it snows, like before Theron, we weren't so worried about her being in a little Civic driving around. That sounds horrible to me, right? But now that we have a baby coming, well, good grief, why wouldn't we have an all-wheel drive vehicle, right? But we're looking around, and we kind of settled on a Nissan X-Trail. We thought, man, that's so cool because it's kind of different. You know, there's, like, nobody drives these things, and they're neat. You know, we had some really good friends that had one, and the first time I sat in, I was like, gotta have one. This is awesome. And, you know, we looked for that. And, you know, we found an X-Trail, and we actually swapped her Civic for the X-Trail. It was just a cool thing. Like, I've never bartered, you know, like, that was... Anyway, it was a cool experience for us. We got this X-Trail, and do you know what happened when we got this X-Trail? As we're driving around, we became aware of the fact that really a lot more people than we thought drove them. Like, everywhere we went, we're like, there's actually two on our street, you know? Like, everywhere we went, we thought, how many X-Trails did you see today? Well, I saw five today. Well, I saw six today. They're everywhere, right? And do you think it's because that we're so cool that because we bought an X-Trail that everyone else went out and said, yes, we got to have an X-Trail? I like to think maybe so, but it's not the case, right? The thing is, they were all around us all the time. We just didn't pay any attention to them, right? We drove right, there was one down the street on our side of the street. We drove past it every day, never noticed it until we got one, right? And then I started looking for them, and they're everywhere, okay? Maybe it wasn't a car for you. Maybe it's that perfect dress, or, you know, maybe it's whatever it is, that set of golf clubs that you're like, man, yes, and then, oh, everybody plays these. It's stuff that maybe we walk past or we drive by every day of our lives, but then when we start to look for it, we start to try and notice it, we see it everywhere. This is what I'm talking about with practicing God's presence. God is at work everywhere, all the time. He wants to be doing stuff in people's lives. He wants to be molding and shaping character. He wants to be with people in their darkest moments. He wants to celebrate with people in their highest times. He wants to be there when it seems like the most mundane times. He is there. And when we talk about practicing His presence, really it's becoming more aware of the fact that, okay, God, we're going to look today. You say in Your Word several times that You are here. You say in Your Word, and if I believe Your Word to be true, and if I believe You to be true, You say in Your Word that you're with me. Then God, I want to practice looking for You. I want to practice taking a moment, whether it's the most mundane times, whether it's tragic times, whether it's times of celebration, I want to look for where You're at work. I want to notice Your presence, God. Because You're here. All right, let's get into Deuteronomy chapter 31. If you have your Bible, I'd really encourage you to turn there with me today. Deuteronomy, or if you have your phone, your iPad, or whatever it is, but Deuteronomy 31. And I'm going to help. I'm going to. I'm going to. I'm going to get us up to date on what's going on here, okay? So in Deuteronomy, God's people, they're called Israel, okay? It's the nation of Israel. And they have a leader, okay? And God is their leader, but they're the person that God has said, I want to use you to lead my people. I want to give them someone they can look to and that I can give instruction through. And his name is Moses, okay? Moses has been leading God's people. In fact, Moses has led God's people. Moses had, you know, he had kind of a colorful past in some ways. Like he killed somebody and ran away after he killed somebody after being raised in the house of a foreign king. And anyway, Moses has a really incredible story. I would encourage you to read it. But Moses has been selected by God to be the leader of his people. And God has used Moses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. And God is leading his people to a promised land. Now, on the way, there's some things that happen, and God's people are disobedient. God's people turn to idols instead of to God. And, I mean, it's the same thing that we see over and over and over in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and today. But God's people have been wandering in the desert for 40 years. 40 years, so an entire generation pass away. Now, in that time, God has used Moses to lead them. God has used Moses to help them see that God is going to provide for all their needs. He's going to provide for food. He's going to provide for water. He made sure, the scripture tells us, that the sandals on their feet, can you imagine? 40 years in the desert, walking around. It's hot. It's sandy. The sand grates and grains and wears on the leather that their sandals were made of. God made sure that their sandals never wore out. He made sure that their clothes never got too ragged, okay? God provided everything for them as they experienced the discipline for their actions. God made sure they had everything they needed, and he used Moses to lead them to the point of getting ready to cross over one more river and go to the land that God was saving for his people. And in the midst of this time, there have been people that had, there have been nations that had risen up to go against God's people, but God declared victory over those people, and he gave that land to certain tribes of God's people. And we're getting to the point where Moses is about to give over his leadership because, well, we'll see why. Moses is about to give up his leadership, but God has been leading his people. And leadership that he's about to pass the baton here to a guy named Joshua. Okay? So here, that's where we are in this narrative. Deuteronomy 31, starting in verse 1. Then Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, saying, I am now 120 years old. Did you catch that? He's 120 years old. One of the reasons why he's stepping down as a leader. He can't do it anymore. 120 years old. I can no longer act as your leader. The Lord has told me, you being Moses, will not cross this Jordan River. The Lord your God is the one who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will drive them out. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, as the Lord has said. The Lord will deal with them as he did Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and their land when he destroyed them. See, what he did was God rose up, and he defeated these people that came against his people, that came against the people of God. God declared victory. And he's saying, I'm going to do the same thing with the people that reside across the Jordan River, the exact same thing. The Lord will deliver them over to you, and you must do to them exactly as I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Moses then summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you will go with this people into the land the Lord swore to give to their fathers. He will enable them to take possession of it. Now let's pay attention to verse 8 here. The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Leadership is about to take place. A change in leadership is about to take place. Moses is handing the baton, and he tells Joshua, he says, take courage. God's going to use you to lead his people into the land that he's promised them. A huge, daunting task, but God is going to do it. He's going to do it through you, Joshua. And by the way, he's saying this not just like in his tent with Joshua, okay, and saying, all right, Josh, I got to pump you up and get you ready here because you're going to lead Israel. He's saying this in front of everybody, right? No pressure. You're the one. They're making this change in leadership. And the most important thing he can tell Joshua is, you've got a huge task ahead of you. And Joshua has proved faithful before this. He's followed God. He's believed God when nobody else would believe God. Moses looks at Joshua and he says, be strong and take courage. He says, God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. The same thing that he just said to the entire nation of Israel, he says to Joshua himself, God will never leave you or forsake you. He says, don't be afraid or discouraged. What God is saying here to Joshua holds true for you and me as well. God will never leave us or forsake us. He's here. He's not going anywhere. And when we think about that, when we think about the fact that God is here, he's not going anywhere, if you have said, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he did what he said he came to do on that cross, and that God rose him from the dead on the third day, then God has put his Holy Spirit in you, and he says, I won't leave you, I won't forsake you, I'm with you all the time. I'm with you in those things I talked about earlier. I'm with you in the moments where you feel like you're lower than you could ever go, when you're higher than you can ever be, or in those moments when it seems like every day is the same, nothing changes, what's the point of my life? God is in that. I will never leave you or forsake you. And he says it a few other places in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. It says, I will be with you when you pass through the waters and when you pass through the rivers. They will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire. And the flame will not burn you. God says, I'm with you all the time. There's nothing you can go through that I'm not there. Okay? Fine. If you say, Bo, Old Testament. You know, wait, that was a long time before Jesus. Not before Jesus was, but before he was sent. Let's look at the New Testament. Jesus says in Hebrews 13:5, that he quotes the Old Testament, he quotes Deuteronomy 31, that he says that he will never leave you or forsake you. Matthew 28:19-20, God tells us to go therefore into all the nations, making disciples. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I have commanded you. And he says, and know that I will be with you always. I will be with you even to the end of the age. I am with you. All right, then let's look at Romans 8, 38 and 39. Read this during our family prayer time today. Paul, who God inspired, who God used to write this letter to the Romans, he says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? All throughout Scripture, all throughout time, God has said, I am not going anywhere. You continue to walk away from me. You continue to get so wrapped up in your life that you forget that I am there, but I'm not going anywhere. And if we're going to be concerned with seeking out a deeper relationship with God, a stronger walk with God, then practicing his presence has got to be part of that. Taking time in those mundane times when it feels like nothing changes in my day. Every day I get up at the same time. I have the same bowl of cereal. I go to work at the same time. I come home at the same time. Whatever it is. Taking time to say, God, you tell me. Even in the most mundane times in life, you're here. And God, I got to know that you're here. It will help us seek him to say, God, I just want to acknowledge that you never leave me. Thank you. You know, when it seems like sometimes in those big moments, like when we look at Deuteronomy 31 and Joshua, and okay, Bo, obviously Joshua's going to be looking to help, right? Because he's got to lead a whole nation. It's been 40 years in the prep, and much longer than 40 years actually, but 40 years in the making for them to go across into this promised land, and there's these giants on the other side and these huge people and these nations that are warring people, and Joshua's going to have to lead the people over there. Obviously, he's going to look to God. I don't know. I don't know that that's true. Because even in the most trying times in life, we can forget that God is with us. We can forget to look for his presence, to practice his presence. Many of you know that this week, on Monday, I got some news about my dad that was unexpected to us. It was a shock to us, right? I got a text message, like not even a phone call, right? Anyway, I got a text message. Dad's kidneys aren't working. His heart, his blood pressure's over 200, taking him to an emergency room. Okay. Panic sets in, right? And you got to think. And they said, oh, and by the way, they think this is caused by prostate cancer. I'm thinking, I don't know anything about prostate cancer, but I do know that if your kidneys aren't working, that's not good. If your blood pressure is over 200, that's really not good. And so, we began to pray. And I want to take just a moment and say, Southwinds Church, thank you. Thank you for joining us in prayer. Thank you for your text messages and your emails. Thank you. Rach and I have said many, 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 many times this week, we don't know what we would do without our church family. We don't know what we would do, because you know what you did for us? Every time you prayed, every time you sent a text message, every time you gave us a little call, you know what you did? You helped us practice God's presence. You helped us remember that, you know what, not only is God, will God never leave us or forsake us, but you know what, he's even put people around us that care for us, that want us to know that they are praying for us, that want us to know that God is there with us all the time. You helped us practice his presence. But you know, even going through something like that, we could have missed it. We could have totally missed the fact that God is still at work. We could have totally missed the fact. We could have been so concerned about, how do we get down to Texas? When do we get down to Texas? Who's going to pay for the flight? How are we going to connect with my family? What do we do for Dad? In the midst of all that, in the midst of all the chaos, we can totally miss the fact that God is here. We can miss it. Sometimes when we think it would be the easiest, most natural time, we can miss it. Part of practicing God's presence is being here on a Sunday morning, I hope, for you. I hope that that's part of practicing his presence, remembering that God, yeah, you are real. You are here. And I know that you're real and you're here, but I need to have it here. I need to exercise it here. So part of that is coming here on a Sunday morning and singing his praises, and getting into what his word says, being reminded that he will never leave us or forsake us, being reminded that we need to practice his presence. By maybe one way to do that is, again, being here on Sunday morning. And I was just talking with somebody this morning about the fact that I'm so thankful that no matter what else is happening around me, I know that every Sunday I can come to this place at this time, and I can be with God's people, and we can sing his praises, and we can open his word, and we can practice his presence. Because nothing will change the fact that he's going to be there. What can change is us noticing that he's there. What can change is us saying, God, I want to be so in tune to you that I don't miss any time that you're working. And I'm going to confess, I miss it. I miss it all the time. But what I do want to do is say, all right, I get to read the story of Joshua, and I get to know the rest of that story, that he's going to need the presence of God in his life because he's got a monumental task set before him. Do you know the days ahead for you? Do you know everything that lies in store for you? I don't. I don't know everything that lies in store for me. I don't know the whole story that God has for me. But I know He knows, and I know I'm going to need Him in it. If judging by the past is any indication, I know I'm going to need Him in that. And He says He'll be there. He'll lead me. But I need to practice His presence. I need to be looking for where He is at work and looking for where He is active. Remember the X Trail? That beforehand we thought, man, no, hardly anybody drives these things. They're kind of a cool little vehicle. They were only sold in Canada. They weren't sold in the States, so none of the Americans will have them. And then you start to open up your eyes and you see, wow, there were tons of them all around me all the time. I never really looked for them before. Same with God's presence. That this week, maybe we would go throughout our week. Maybe it feels like it's going to be another mundane week. Maybe we've got something coming up that we think, I don't know how I'm going to tackle this thing. I don't know what everybody's weeks entail. I know we have surprises, like last Monday for our family. That was a huge surprise to us. And Dad's doing much better, by the way. He should be out of the hospital by Tuesday. He's on dialysis. The kidneys are getting better. They're treating the cancer. So thank you for that. Thank you for praying. But we don't know what's coming up. We don't know what's coming up in the next 5 minutes. We may think we know. We may think, okay, in about 5 minutes, Bo's going to finally wrap it up. We're going to sing one more song. We're going to pray. We're going to go. But we don't really know. We don't know. But He does. And if we will begin to intentionally, maybe you're already doing this, but intentionally practicing the presence of God, intentionally just saying in every moment of the day, now, I understand. How do you do that in every moment of the day? Begin maybe by paying attention to the day. Maybe even set your watch or set a little alarm on your phone, right? Like if you have Cozy Calendar like I do, okay? Set a little alarm on your phone. It can be as concrete as that to say, practice His presence, 11 a.m. And just say, God, I know You tell me. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You're with me always. I know You're in this moment. I just want to say I want to be aware of Your presence. Practice God's presence. I just want to ask, you know, questions for us to consider this week maybe. Do I practice God's presence? An obvious question from today's message, I think. Just the fact, do I do that? Or do I think, you know what, I go to church on Sunday, and you know, I go to church, I'm there, I sing the songs, I hear what the preacher has to say. It's generally a good thing to be at church on Sunday. But do I practice God's presence in my life? Do I practice His presence? Am I looking for God to be present with me in hard times, good times, and everything in between? Am I looking for it? Because I got to tell you, if we'll start to look for it, we'll notice it. If you start to look for the X-trails, you're going to see the X-trails. If you start to look for God's presence, you're going to see His presence in your life. So this week, those would be my questions for all of us. Do I practice God's presence, and am I looking for that presence in my life, in the good times and the bad times and everything in between? Am I doing that? Because He will always be faithful to be there. Am I looking for Him in it?